Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, July 26th, and you are tuned into Garage Talk Live's Girls Getting the Facts. I'm Tammy, and my co-host is Cindy. And Cindy, what do we have for our lineup tonight?
Well, tonight we have Wayne Southard. He is a NASCAR Nationwide hauler driver. He's going to come on and talk to us about the day in the life of a hauler driver, what it takes, what he does. You know, just let us know what it's like. You know, we all look at it and think, oh, how wonderful that will be. I think he's going to, you know, fill us in on a little bit more. And he'll be calling in about 8:15. And then we're just going to have some updates, some more facts to some of the news and information going on in both NASCAR Cup Series and Nationwide. Unfortunately, I didn't get any truck information this week. But we'll make do.
That works.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of news do you have with us to start off with this week?
Well, to start off, let's just get the ugly out of the way. Because, you know, we don't like this discussion to go on for a really long time. Danica hopes to run Indy, the Indy 500, let me rephrase that, in 2013. There was the Indianapolis Star had a questions and answer with Danica, and they asked her, you've expressed interest in returning to the 500 in 2013. What kind of odds would that give you? A fair chance, I'll say, 50 to 50%. We're working on it. So she's looking to, I guess, jump back into an Indy car.
How is that going to work, though? She's going to be running full-time in the Cup Series. We have the 600 race that night. It's, you know, as we all known in the past, it's just virtually impossible to jump between the two tracks.
She has more money to probably just get her little helicopter and hop over to wherever she got to go.
Right, but even so, I mean, we've seen it with Tony and them. If Indy's delayed with rain or anything like that, you're not going to make it for time-wise. There's just not enough time. You know, and so what is she going to do? Pull herself out of the race at Indy just to make it back in time to, you know, fulfill her full-time ride with Tony and Stuart Haas Racing?
I really don't know, but you are aware that she is also planning to run a part-time in Nationwide next year.
Right, and I personally think she needs another year in Nationwide, get her feet wet a little bit more, and then jump up, but that's just me, you know. Let's just jump through everything, forget about all the education, and go right to the top.
Let's master one or the other.
Right.
Danica, let's master one or the other. She has proven that, you know, she gets a little frustrated, gets a little mouthy, gets a little loose, I should say. And but I guess that goes along with the news that Stuart Haas will have three teams next year.
Right, and I'm a big diehard Smoke fan. Anybody that knows me knows that. I don't agree with that decision. I don't think she's ready. I haven't seen the stats and the performance out of her to put her up. But she is in the eye of the media constantly, and I guess that's, you know, what the teams need anymore for the funding is to be constantly the center of attention.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess if GoDaddy is willing to continue that funding, she'll just do whatever it is that they want her to do.
And that brings up another interesting question. Is GoDaddy going to stay with her? And what happens to Junior Motorsports?
Well, let me look. She is staying with Junior Motorsports. It doesn't state where GoDaddy's going to be.
You know,
excuse me, I replaced that. GoDaddy.com, which sponsors Patrick and the Nationwide and Cup Series, would remain with her in those series in 2013.
So does that mean, though, they're not going to be open to sponsoring anybody else? I mean, I don't know. If GoDaddy's going to do those kind of commercials with her, why don't they do those kind of commercials with, say, a Casey Kane or somebody like that, you know? Even it out for us ladies watching.
Yes, hello. Visit our website to see more.
You know, you might actually have I mean, if you think about it from a marketing standpoint, okay, you're attracting all the men. Men aren't the only watchers of NASCAR, so if you want to get our attention too, you've got to do something to get our attention.
I agree. You know, I mean, forgive me, but I forget who his sponsor was. Was that, who was the insurance sponsor? Was that who was that with the three girls?
Nationwide, I think it was.
Was it still? Was it Nationwide? I thought so. I mean, just to see those eyes, I just want to watch the commercials. I wonder if that's what it's like for guys with the GoDaddy. You know, acting like a cop pulling people over. I don't know.
I remember the one where they knocked the pole over.
I loved that one. Oops. Yeah, you know, view to our website for more behind the scenes. Yeah, I'd do that. Definitely. Okay, now that we got the ugly out of the way, let's talk about something that we have debated on Grog Talk Live, on Girls Getting the Facts, and it's been debated over and over and over again. NASCAR is looking to change qualifying for the Cup next year. It states that NASCAR is kicking around the idea of qualifying the top 38 drivers on time and cutting the number of provisionals down to 4 plus one former champion. With sponsors, and this is the reason, with sponsors at a premium right now, it could be catastrophic to eliminate provisionals altogether, particularly when a driver missing a race could result in the benefactor pulling his support from the team. That is huge.
That is huge.
We have to go to the sponsors. You know, when we are trying to secure the sponsorship, you know, we have to let them know we are going to do everything we can to attempt to make the race. And a lot of times it's the sponsors who aren't an established NASCAR sponsor understand what it means to qualify on time, what it means to be a go or go homers. And there are those sponsors that say, look, I just gave you this money. You were out on the track. Matter of fact, you qualified, let's say, fourth. We didn't even have any television time. Therefore, where do we stand?
And it makes a lot of sense. So, I think it's also going to start to weed out the starting parks by doing something like this, you know, because if everybody's got to qualify on time in that top 38, and, you know, if they see that they're not doing it week in and week out, I don't think it's going to be beneficial to them. But it might be beneficial to the sport as a whole because it's going to make everybody have to step up their game.
Exactly. I agree. It says that it sounds similar to the old provisional system they did in 2004. So you can go on jayski.com and read about it and go to my 2004 provisional page and read more about how the rules and stuff were for the qualifying back then.
I mean, I look at it this way. When you go to your local short tracks, you know, your NASCAR Weekly Series short tracks, there is no provisionals. You either make the race or you load up and you go home. You know, there is no second chances and stuff like that. I think some tracks maybe started doing one a year for a past champion, but that's one the entire season. You know, it's a big difference, you know, and these guys, this is the grassroots of racing. This is where racing started from. And if they can manage to qualify week in and week out, well, then the top guys in, you know, all the NASCAR series should be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. What I don't understand is why, okay, a former champion, for one former champion, well, obviously the former champion is not racing on a regular basis. If they were, they would be more than likely locked in. Why do they give that former champion just, okay, you know, I'm going to say it, you know, let's go with Labonte. Slow cars. He is always in these races and doesn't even race.
Right.
I mean, not necessarily a starting park, but he's not even racing for a position.
I mean, I could see
it's
it
just
if
the name going back
where,
out there.
Like they're competitive and say maybe that isn't in locked in positions because they've had a couple bad weeks in the beginning of the year type of thing, then I could see
right.
it. But if you're going to come back and be a ringer, well, if that team's picking you to be a ringer, you better be good. That's why they're picking you to come out and be their ringer.
Exactly. And not finish 42nd.
Right. You know, I also was reading somewhere, too, they're saying that after Daytona, unlike in previous years where the first five races go by your past season's points, it's only going to be Daytona. After that, it goes by your points from Daytona.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, we'll see if they change the way it is for qualifying. And we've been talking about this for a month now. You know, I mean, it's sad to see those that are struggling teams and they do everything they can and then bumped because of a former champion or because
of a starting park, you know, that's just going to take a lap
exactly.
and pull off. You know, they're going to come in and they don't run that series that often, but they got to make a little extra money. You know, unlike those who are following the series week in and week out, and they're going to every track and they're trying their hardest out there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if it, you know, if it benefits or hinders or remains the same. That's, you know, that's to be seen. I don't know. I do not know.
We'll find out.
All right. Now, here's something. I guess, you know, Wayne should be calling in a minute, but we're going to have one discussion, wait for Wayne. I find this extremely funny. Mayfield comments on Allmendinger's suspension. Do you think Jeremy Mayfield has any comments to say on AJ Allmendinger's suspension?
I wouldn't say anything, honestly, if it was me. You know, I mean, unfortunately, with everything he's been through and now legal issues that he's had, I don't know.
What is he commenting on? He had a cold?
Yeah,
I took some cold medicine.
It's, you know, Jeremy's been, you know, it's one of those things where you wanted to believe him at first, but everything that's happened since then has just really lost his credibility.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I said, I hate to say this, but I said that just 2 weeks ago? I said, y'all, you know what? Before we say, not AJ Allmendinger, we all said that same thing about Jeremy Mayfield. Let's just wait to see what happens. You know, sample A, definitely negative, positive, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
You know, he failed it. Sample B, he failed it for the same substance. Well, now, according to his spokesperson, it says here, let me find it. NASCAR Sprint Cup driver AJ Allmendinger's suspension from NASCAR for violating the sanctions of the body substance abuse policy. He'll be on Race Hub for extensive interviews and analysts of the next steps for Allmendinger. It also states that Tara Reagan, the vice president of Wallendinger Racing, says, this was not the news we wanted to hear. We will work to get the source of what may have caused this. To that end, we have secured the services of an independent lab to conduct thorough testing on every product within AJ's home and motor coach to find what might collaborate with this test, which created the results that were, I can't say this word, unanimous of accepted standards. Really? You know, I mean, okay, didn't Jeremy Mayfield do the same stuff? Didn't he go through the same thing?
I honestly don't remember.
I mean, I know he fought it and fought it and fought it and had tests done and tests done, all this other stuff, and it turned out that he was using a controlled substance, substance that is banned from NASCAR. These drivers, to me, I personally feel these drivers really, really need to know what they're taking, what the ingredients is. You know, a friend of mine is celiac. She's not going to just, you know, eat something and think, oh, I hope it doesn't have what makes me sick. She's going to read every ingredient, even medicines, to make sure it doesn't have any wheat products in it.
That's right. Well,
or flower products. Why haven't they done that?
That's true. Well, let's put this topic on hold for a little bit, and let's bring our guest on.
Oh, wonderful.
Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
Absolutely marvelous. Wonderful
hey,
day.
Wayne.
It's an absolutely wonderful day here at Indy.
Well, what's the weather like there?
It's right on the upper side of holy hot.
Yeah, it's absolutely ignorant hot. I mean, it's not quite Kentucky hot, but it's hot. Yeah.
It's hot.
Actually, I think I heard y'all talking earlier. It's hotter than a Danica commercial.
Oh, you did not? You know, we're not fond of those commercials unless they have Jeff Gordon in them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you'll understand that Jeff Gordon is my answer for everything.
Yeah, she's going to be watching
really?
Jeff Gordon. I don't think I'd watch those commercials, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, Wayne. Well, tell us. We are all wanting to know, what do you do in a day? Do you just get up in the morning and drive this car and then park it?
No, I can't fit in the car, but I do drive the truck.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, sometimes the girls getting the facts get their facts a little confused. That's all.
I got to be honest with you, and a lot of people actually ask me that question. Driving the truck is actually the easy part. That's the easiest part of my week. And I think you've all probably heard a driver say their favorite part of the day, and they don't want anybody to take it personal, but the favorite part of their day is when they get inside that race car. And that's kind of my favorite time is when I'm in my truck because I'm all by myself now. Finally, it's all about me. But that's the easy part of my job. Basically, I don't know, I guess I call it like a house mother almost. I mean, not
right.
And that's what you know, because you're responsible for it. One of the things that first thing people are going to say is, where is this, whatever this may be? Where is it at? And the response, 99% of the time, is, I don't know, ask the truck driver. Well, I've changed the terminology. I'm not a truck driver. We're hauler operators. And I'm not trying to make it sound any bigger than what it really is, but there is so much more to our job than just driving that truck. But unfortunately, a lot of people think that that's all we do. And that's the first thing, that's the first time. Oh, my God, I'd love to have your job. Yeah, but come spend the day with me and then tell me what you think.
Right.
So,
I mean, you leave before everybody. You leave before the team. You don't have the luxury of flying back and forth, huh?
No. No. We leave before the team, and we usually get back after the team's home, and sometimes we don't get back at all. Sometimes the team will go home, and we'll go on to the next town, for instance.
Right, that's the case with
Chicago,
this weekend, I hear, huh?
When we raced Chicago, we went from Chicago. In financially, logistically, it just made sense not to go back to Concord because you have to drive by Indy to get to Concord. So it's kind of, you know, it's a lot of money. I mean, you're talking probably in the neighborhood of $2,000 in fuel to go home and come back. So that's, you know, I mean, I honestly could not sit down and tell you what I do in a day because every single day I do something different. There's everything from we got to keep the coolest, so that's the easy part. We run for parts, pieces, material. We got to keep the truck clean. We basically have to know everybody else's job to know what they need to do their job, because it's our responsibility to make sure that they have what they need to do their job, if you can imagine. And on top
right.
of that, we're also, most hauler drivers, what people don't know, is we have retirement careers, because throughout most of our racing career, people think that we're mind readers. So what we're going to do is at the end of our careers, we're all going to join the fair or the circus. I'm going to go around, we're going to read people's minds for a dollar and give them pencil erasers. We're going to get it right or get it wrong.
Or a goldfish, huh? Here's your goldfish.
Yeah, you know, we're basically responsible. Everything that you see going down that truck, basically what's inside that truck is a minimized version of what is in a race shop. If anybody's ever been to a race shop, you can see what goes on. So basically it's our responsibility, whether we're notified about it or not, to make sure that all the parts and pieces are on that truck that we need to build a car. Now, a lot of times parts and pieces get taken off and people forget to tell us. But it's still our responsibility to say, hey, there's an empty hole right there. What was there? What needs to go back? And that's,
do you have a checklist? Of what belongs in the drawers, what belongs in the cabinets?
Well, no,
I mean,
well,
I know there's probably a lot of people that haven't been in a hauler. A lot of them are labeled.
Yep. Yeah, we have label makers. We basically keep the label maker company in business because everything is labeled. And when I say everything, if it's in there, I put a label on it so that I know what's supposed to be in there. It also makes it easier for me to be somewhere, wherever I may be in the garage, possibly doing something else. A crew member calls and says, hey, where's a steering box? Hey, where's a fuel line? Hey, where's a brake hose? Where's a brake pad? And I can say, you know, for instance, two-thirds of the way down the trail on the right-hand side, fourth cabinet from the bottom. And more times than not, they'll see the label. Oh, okay, there it is right there. All right.
Right.
There's just a huge list of basically, like I said, we have to know everybody else's job because it's our responsibility to make sure that they have what they need to do their jobs.
Well, not only do you handle the tools and the parts, but don't you also handle hospitality? Don't
yes.
the hauler
yes.
drivers handle a lot of the hospitality?
Yes, yes, we do. Some teams
let me
it's bigger
ask
than
you,
others.
Wayne.
Go ahead. Yep.
Let
no,
me
go
ask
ahead.
You.
Go ahead.
I need to get a bowl and a spoon. Where am I going to find that at?
Walk in the back of the hauler, just beyond the granite cabinet, first door on the right. Look at the bottom shelf.
For the
what
spoon or for the bowl?
Oh,
for the,
no, for the
spoon
bowl.
Or for
the
bowl? The
spoon.
Because I know where
the
they are, remember?
Oh, that's right. The spoon will be directly at the end of the granite cabinet on the third drawer down.
But wait, Cindy, can you tell us where the cookies are?
I don't think there's any cookies.
No, I know exactly where those are at. Those are actually just below my chin but above my belly button.
Right. So you take charge of the supply. Do you supply the food? Do you go out and do the shopping? I mean,
is that what hauler drivers
do? You do all the cooking?
Yeah, we go into Walmart, and normally in Concord, they know why we're there when they see us pull up. It's not very often that you see a man by himself with two or three shopping carts full of stuff, and that's usually the first thing the cashier will ask, oh, you must work for a race team. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not supplying my one-bedroom apartment, that's for sure, because it's basically full. It's usually going to be full of nice, healthy foods like soft drinks and snacks. And everybody's different. I basically ask my guys, okay, tell me what you want me to get. So that when I get to the track, the first time somebody says, how come we don't have these? I say, because you didn't tell me you wanted them. You know, it's like I said before, it's like being a house mother. You know, you got to take care of, let me see, we have what, four or five guys on our team. So I'm dealing with four or five different personalities every single day of the week. Some people like their food cooked medium, some like it raw, some like it well beyond burnt. What do I have to do to make their lives easier and their lives happier? Because let's face it, we're out here on the road, we're in the hot heat, we're doing what we want to do, of course, but we're still away from them. So just try to make their lives as comfortable as possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would think so. And that goes also for sponsors or guests of the team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to entertain. Yeah, you basically have to be an entertainer. And sometimes you don't mind doing it because they are there. I mean, let's face it, the sponsors are the ones who write my paycheck. Maybe not directly, but it's their money that allows my paycheck to be written. So, yeah, sometimes taking care of the sponsors, it can be difficult. I've been with teams before where the sponsors come in and not only are they the sponsors, but they make sure that you know that they're the sponsors. And I've had other teams where they'll say, listen, don't go out of your way. We're all set. We have everything we need. You know, but you know,
right.
It depends. It depends on what you're dealing with.
Yeah, yeah. So what is, I mean, how long are you gone? How long are you away from home? You leave your family behind? Does any of your family travel with you? Or?
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. God,
no.
No, 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 I don't want them with me. No, this is my getaway.
Oh, if, okay.
No, no. I couldn't have my family out here because I'm at work. I'm not on vacation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times even if you have friends that come to the track, you have to explain to them, okay, listen, I'm at work right now. They'd be like me coming into somebody's office building and following them around all day long and expecting them to stop doing their job to hang out with me. And they unfortunately, a lot of people forget we're at work. And I can't entertain my family because I have to take care of my job, which is entertaining my sponsor and my crew. When I say entertain,
right.
I don't mean like stand up on a stage and, you know, three shows, one at 6, 5, and 11. So, 5, 8, and 11.
Yeah, no, but you know, because a lot of us think, oh, look at that life, how wonderful, how glamorous. But you know what? You are working.
Yeah.
You are
yeah.
there. You do have a job. Your glamorous life is how many days that you're home?
That would be basically our home time. If I had to really nail it down, would be probably the Monday after Homestead. Until the second week of February, I think it is now. That's our home time.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, we're still at the shop. I mean, we are still, race cars still have to get built. Just because we stop racing in November doesn't mean that we stop working, because we'll take, you know, some time off, but there's still a lot of stuff that has to get done. There's a thing called maintenance. I mean, you've been out on the road real hard for the past 8 months, you know, and it's 9 months. And there's a lot of equipment that needs to be taken care of, and don't get me wrong, we do take time off because you have to. So,
right, you do get burnt out, huh?
Oh, burnt out? Some guys do. Some guys do get burnt out. I consider myself very fortunate because I go to work every day doing what I want to do, compared to some people who go to work every day doing what they have to do. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but
No, I understand.
That's, you know, I'm very, 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 very fortunate, and I know this, because, I mean, if you take a look at our series, the Nationwide Series, there's 43 guys every week that get to do the job that I do out of the entire country, and I'm one of them. And that's pretty darn good odds for a little small kid from Northern Maine.
Yeah.
You know, it's what it
well,
is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and do you have a family that you leave at home? Do they understand what you
well,
do?
You have to. Yes, I do. But see, I've been on the road my entire life. That's all. To them, me being home would be an oddity. They know what I do. Thank God for modern technology such as, you know, the internet, Skype. Video phones, whatever you may have. I mean, but this is what I've done, and I've spent my entire life on the road since it's the only thing I've ever known. I've known hotel rooms, suitcases, and going from town to town to town. But so for them, this is what they're used to. You know, it would be hard for them to imagine me doing anything else, I think. And for them, it's kind of cool because they get to, guess what, they get to tell all their friends. My dad wants
right.
the NASCAR, you know? So, you know, imagine that as a kid growing up being able to say, oh, geez, you know, my dad does this and my dad does that. And very few kids get that opportunity. So it's kind of cool for my kids, too, you know?
Yeah. Do they ever get to go with you? Do you ever take them with you?
I won't take them on the road with me, but I will fly them in or fly them out. Only because there's so much that can happen on the road. And there's in this industry, things can change. I mean, just because I leave today doesn't mean I'm going to be home tomorrow. there's so many different variables in this business where we could all of a sudden say, hey, listen, we have a sponsor obligation. We have to take and show them the car. So instead of coming back home this week, can we take them to show them the car and then just continue on to the next track?
Right.
I've thought about it, but once again, it would be like you taking your child to work every single day with you. You as much as you'd like to have them hang out with you at work, you're still at work, you know, and I mean, but like I said, I do fly them out from time to time. If we're within, you know, a few hundred miles of a track, they'll drive out and say hey. And I mean, this is just, and so many people ride us out here. Oh, geez, how can you have families? Well, because this is what we do, and our families understand that. So, and we're very blessed to have that, to have, you know, the people that are out here that have husbands and wives that say, yeah, cool, that's fine, that's what you do for a job, and, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, this, you got to do something, you might as well do this.
Might as well, yeah. Something that you enjoy doing. I mean, you obviously enjoy driving, you know, being a truck driver, but in the NASCAR industry also probably makes it a little more exciting.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, I've said this before, and somebody said, geez, you're a little snobbish in a sense, but I don't know that I would want to drive a truck for a living unless I was doing what I'm doing now, only because I get paid, I'm paid salary. Most of your truck drivers that are out there that work for companies other than what I do are paid, you know, mileage or paid different ways. I'm paid a salary. And on top of that, you're driving down the state with a giant billboard on the side of you, and everybody knows who you are. It's got some pretty good perks to it.
And do people ask you to stop so they can take a picture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'll do it anytime. I mean, if I'm going down the highway, that can kind of be a pain because a lot of times when you see NASCAR haulers go down the highway, you won't see them in large groups. And the reason why is because people go, they get all gaga goo goo about it, and they want to pull up next to your truck, and they want to sit there and take pictures. And then they just want to sit there. Well, you can't go left and you can't go right because you got people sitting there wanting to take pictures of your truck or look at your truck or point and show their friends and, you know, put everything on, you know. That can be kind of troublesome sometimes. However, if I am stopped, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, how late I'm running, if one person comes up to me and says, hey, what do you want to talk about and what can I show you? Because those are the people that also pay my salary because they come to the races every single week. Or they may not even have any idea what I do, and they ask, hey, what's this all about? Guess what? I may have just found us a new fan. And that new fan, how do I know that that's not, you know, Trump's grandson or Steven Spielberg's, you know, uncle or nephew? Or you never know who you're talking to.
Exactly. Well, that should be everybody's philosophy all the time anyways.
Well, it should be, but unfortunately, it's not. It really isn't, and I'm not saying anybody in general, but there's a lot of people in this business that forget where they came from. They forget the day that they were sitting around going, man, I wish I could do that, and now you're doing it, and all of a sudden your head gets so big that you don't have time for people. And I'm not talking about guys in hauler operators. That's everything from crew guys to drivers especially. I don't care who you are.
Team owners.
If team owners, the same way. I mean, if there's an autograph session, I don't care if you're Dale Jr. or if you're Carl Long. And I don't mean any disrespect to Carl. You better get your butt to that autograph session because you remember that day when you were racing at a Saturday night local track and you were begging for somebody to ask for your autograph? Well, you know what? Now's your opportunity. Just because you're racing and famous today doesn't mean you're not going to be you're going to be famous tomorrow. Because as you know in this business, you know, recent events even, you know, one day you're on top, the next minute everybody that was loving you, you know, today is kicking you tomorrow. So
it's accusing you of doing methamphetamines.
Well, you know what? That's their Karma is a horrible thing, or is a horrible, horrible thing. It really is.
Yeah.
And there's only two people that really know what went on, and that's the man who is doing it and his higher power. And everything else from that point forward is speculation. What bothers me about that, and I'm not going to get into this because I'm not going to feed it like That's exactly – we got more things going on this weekend. And unfortunately, our race is going to get overlooked. Do you realize that we're at the inaugural race for the Nationwide
Series? Inaugural race. Exactly.
At Indianapolis Speedway. But guess what's going to overlook it? And you know what they should say? Forget about it. Let's stop talking about it. It's a dead issue. There's
Let's
nothing we can do. It is what it is. Let it go.
And Danica Patrick. That's what they want to talk about.
And guess what? Both of those things are non-issues because
right.
one of them doesn't work anymore. Let him get through his sobriety. If somebody in your office or in your in somebody else's line of work that's out there has a drug problem, the first thing they want to do is keep it quiet. They don't want the whole world to know. And in
right.
my opinion, this is my own personal opinion. Nobody should know about what's going on here. This is almost this, for me personally. This is a fine line of. I don't know what the Privacy Act, but it's a Medical Privacy Act. You know, this is an issue that should not. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. You know, let's let all the facts come out before we start reporting on stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the poor kid was guilty before any proof was given.
Right.
So,
now I know you just said you
go.
Don't really want to talk. I know you just said you just don't want to really talk on this, touch base. But I just have a question for you because I've got
okay.
something that's totally mind-boggling right here.
All right then.
Jeremy Mayfield comments on AJ Allmendinger's suspension.
Right. What do I think
really?
About that? Here's what I
well,
think.
What do you
here,
think about that?
Okay, here's what I think. If you want my opinion, anything that gentleman says, it would be AJ's best interest to do the exact opposite.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know
do you know
anything
do
that this man said? And you know why he's commenting? You know why he's commenting?
Because he wants
because
back in the limelight.
Idiot, no, he doesn't. Does he have a camera at his house? Did he go to ESPN and say I need to talk? And they said, okay, please, Mr. Mayfield, we'll allow you to talk. Please, you're scaring us.
I don't know.
No, a reporter went to him and asked him his question. The media is what brought that man back out from, we'll call it retirement.
Suspension? Indefinite?
Whatever.
What do you? Yeah.
You know what? Is it indefinite suspension? Who says that he can't move on to another series? He's under NASCAR suspension. That's
right.
All he's under.
Right. He can
but,
go run any other series, but he's just lost
right.
all his credibility at this point with everything he's done.
As long as he passes a drug test and can bring in a couple of bucks.
That's
you know?
True.
I mean, for me, if I'm a drug rehab, I want to pin this guy. I want to bring him to my rehab. We'll get you all fixed up. And guess what we're going to do after that? We're going to sponsor and say, this is our guy. We took care of him, and we can take care of you, too.
That's true. It's a good marketing
you know,
aspect.
That's true. Once again, marketing. There you go. You know, always looking
and you
for
know
the
what?
Dollar. Do you think that's why they have the Road to Recovery program so that NASCAR can gain another dollar?
No, they have the Road to Recovery program because they're a corporation and there's some stockholder somewhere that says, okay, listen, we have to keep up this certain image, so we're going to offer them this because it makes us look good to say, hey, listen, we're trying to help you out the best we can. But in the meanwhile, we're going to run you through the dirt and tell everybody that you're a drug addict. We're going to ruin your career, but we're still going to help you out by sending you through rehab.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, think about it. When somebody says AJ right now, it could be AJ. All I'm saying is AJ. Hell, it could be one of the what was it? Not the New Kids on the Block or the boys. One of the boy bands. There's a guy named AJ. When you say AJ,
wait a minute, Wayne. Can you tell us why you know about a boy band?
Backstreet. Hey, listen. What I do in my own time is my own business. Let it go. No, but you know what I'm saying. When people say AJ, they don't talk about what a hell of a career, what a hell of a season he's had.
Yes.
They don't talk.
Yes,
they don't talk
right.
about. They don't talk about. Yeah, this is the guy that came in and saved Penske when they had to get rid of Bush. And not only did they save him, but he came out of the gates running. He came out of the gates
right.
punching. He didn't just sit back and go, well, geez, I'll do the best I can. And the guy was a performer, an absolute performer. And
right.
they're not talking about that anymore. The same people that, like I said earlier, the same people that a day before this all broke, they were going, oh, you're my best pal. Oh, you're my best friend. The day this story broke, I guarantee you every one of those people is going, I'm sorry, you're who? Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know you.
The
you know?
We don't know you.
Yeah, because God forbid that you're associated with him. But for me personally, I support him 100%. Good for him. You know what? Go do your rehab if this is what you need to do. Personally, it's nobody's business what he chooses to do or not to do. He's
right.
suspended from NASCAR, yeah. But you know what? The kid's a hell of an Indy driver, too. And I think I think somebody get him to rehab. It. That's what he needs. Whether he needs it or not, he's going to have to do it. Ready?
Right.
You know. Who, okay.
But he is still fighting this. You know, he is still fighting this.
And this is I don't know any of the facts. I don't really care. I really don't. I'm out here on the road, and I'm hurting really bad today, let's just say. I've twisted them. I've done something. And you're right. They know better. But, boy, now you got me on my soapbox. There are certain people who will never get drug tested out here. Never. Never, ever, ever. Of course they would. Imagine if certain people were and something was to come out. Imagine what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like
I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not even insinuating anything. But I'm telling you right now, I know of drivers. I know of certain drivers.
All right,
that get
all right.
Drug tested
every
single week.
Right.
You know, and that's it. You know, and there's other guys that I guarantee you you'll never see them in there being in a cup.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not just the drivers. Am I correct? It's any
member
of the crew.
Anybody, whether you're a driver, whether you're a crew, if you hold a NASCAR license, you are subject to their drug testing policy.
Or if you're an employee of NASCAR, they also do that to them too.
Exactly.
Right.
And you know what? The odds are kind of funny when you think about. If you sit down, I don't know what the numbers are. I'm sure if somebody sat down and said, okay, at XYZ company, this amount of people failed drug tests at some point in their employment. Why is it in this industry when a poor driver, he's no different than you or I, he just drives a race car, it's all blown out of proportion.
Right.
But if Joe Tire Changer or Billy Bob the Jackman gets pinched, you might see it on J-Skis, maybe. But it's not that big of a deal. Nobody makes a big deal out of it. They're making a big deal out of it because of the driver, and that's wrong because that's double standards. It really is. It really
right.
in my own opinion, you know.
Right, they're making it sound like this is the only two that have been suspended in NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you remember a kid named Shane Neal?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. Same way. Shane, you know. There was a kid in the truck series, up-and-coming driver. I couldn't tell you his name to save my life right now if I had to. But I remember he was found in a parking lot somewhere at an amusement park with a needle stuck in his arm. Never heard about that anymore, you know. A.J. Fike. Was it A.J. Fike? Is that right? That sound about right?
I'm trying to think.
I don't know. Let me pull it up. Fike?
F-I-K-E. Yeah, like Fike as in Ficus plant, only F-I-K-E, I think, maybe. I don't know. Kidney Fike, maybe? I don't know.
Let's look and see. I understand your point.
Randy LaJoy.
What did Randy LaJoy get pinched for?
He,
Doesn't say, does it?
He was reinstated in August of 2010 by NASCAR after 2 months of suspension.
Yeah.
He admitted to smoking pot with some fans after the Coca-Cola 600.
Right.
Shane Himmel, Kevin Grubb.
Yep. Kevin Grubb was a crew guy. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But guess what? Nobody knows about that, do they?
No.
No, because there's only two so far that we know about
is what they're only
letting us know about, really.
Yeah.
Because these are the bigger names, because these guys don't make a hill of beans. They don't bring the money to NASCAR as these guys do.
Right. Yeah. And that's understandable. But still, they ruin these poor guys' lives, you know.
They do.
But anyway.
Let's not ruin their lives anymore. I want to talk to you about one more thing.
Unless they have video, you can't prove anything.
Well, you know what? You did post a picture. Therefore, I can prove it.
Okay.
Tell me about the beautiful Camaro that I want two of, please. Were
you like
there?
That,
did you see them there? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They weren't here. I've actually seen those when they were. I actually seen those when they were in production.
You did. Is that when you took the pictures, or did
no,
that
no,
come
gosh,
off of?
No. That was released today. That picture was actually released today.
I saw those, and I just wasn't sure.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, that was released today. But, yeah, those are sharp-looking Camaros. They really, really are. And I love the idea that we're getting back to what is raced on Saturday/Sunday can be bought at the dealership on Monday. Granted, they still look, they're still not looking quite like a showroom car, but I'm going to tell you what, that Camaro looks a hell of a lot more like a Camaro at the dealership than the Impala that I'm racing on Saturday. Bless you. Don't get none of that on you there. That's right there. There you go. Get yourself a tissue and make sure you wipe that phone down. There you go. Get you some of that that hand sanitizer stuff there. There you go.
Hold on. Let me go get it. Yeah, that was just us. The dog came in. It was a cat around something. I don't know.
Yeah, I probably ought to get her. Probably ought to get her a drug test right now, please.
Drug test. Give me a drug test. Hey, Jeff Gordon.
What? What about it?
Is Jeff Gordon? Well, that's my answer for everything.
Yeah,
Jeff Gordon.
The big fat Greek wedding where Windex will cure everything, right?
Yeah, Jeff Gordon will cure everything. You know.
Okay.
Only if he knew that, but he's my cure for everything. Well, you know, I'm reading here that it will be debuting in 2013, next year.
Yeah.
Is it only going to be in the Nationwide Series? Is it not going to the Cup?
I don't know. I've actually heard that it's – I find it hard to believe that Cup teams can make that transition, especially – normally when they do a change like that, somewhere in the middle of the season – the prior season, like say for instance right now, they would start debuting that at the track. They would allow some of the smaller teams to bring it out, do some testing with it. I would love the idea of seeing it out there. However, wow, that's a lot of money for teams that are barely hanging on right now to make those big changes. I mean, you're not talking about just changing the nose and the tail.
Right.
That's the whole car. I've heard talk, and I don't know for sure, but I've heard talk that they're talking about what they call a carbon fiber body, which the entire body is produced by a company, and then you buy it from them to put on top of your chassis. So basically, it's all one piece, just like it would be like with a drag car. You know how they're all kind of one complete piece.
Right.
But we'll see. You know, I'm excited to actually see one out on the track. I'm actually excited to see one, an actual completed with everything inside it other than – I've seen the prototype, I guess you could say. But to see one all done up, yeah, I think it's really exciting to see. But I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I put it out there so that, you know, some people who, again, aren't familiar with NASCAR can say, oh, wow, look at that.
Right.
That's pretty cool. What's this thing all about?
I want a black one and a red one.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
I actually do have one. I do have one. No, I'm serious.
No,
I have a 67. I have a 67.
Yep. Really?
It was given to me by my stepdad for my 21st birthday. It has a midnight black paint job on it. Beautiful. All original interior. Don't ask me what's understood. But I'm not allowed to drive it.
And the reason you own it because you can't drive it is because of your suspended driver's license?
That would be it. No. Well, when I moved... exactly. When I moved from California to Texas, he says, do you know where y'all are living at? We were coming here to buy a house. No, you know what? Just come back and get it. Well, he wouldn't let me have it. Well, you know what, the insurance on it, because it's a classic and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, I found out you can get other kind of insurance on it.
Right.
He doesn't
want
me driving it on a daily basis on these dirt roads. I live in the country, dirt roads. Everybody has dirt roads. I'm not the best driver. I actually have I've been in Texas for 13 years, and I can say I've probably had 9 vehicles. Due to somebody didn't change the oil, someone didn't check the oil, somehow water got in my oil, I don't know, or oil got in my water, who knows what happened on that one.
Wow.
The pole was moving or it wasn't moving, I couldn't really tell, there was a deer at one point. And the 18-wheeler did not have the, not the 18-wheeler, but the dually with the trailer didn't have the turn signals on. So I went to pass, because in Texas there's no rules on the road, and I went to pass around him on the other side, and he turned.
Wow. So that's probably a good idea that
Camaro
is out there in California, because it's still in one piece.
It is. It is for sale, though. For anybody that wants to buy it, just give me a call. Message me on Garage Talk Live. It's for sale for $32,000.
Hey, put that on what's the car auction?
Barrett Jackson.
Barrett Jackson. Put that on Barrett Jackson. Absolutely.
Not that classic.
You know
it's
what?
So not
next
that
time
classic.
We're out in California. We'll take it. We'll bring it to the track. And usually when we're racing out in California, there's usually more NASCAR employees there than our actual fans. We could actually get everybody
right
to sign it. Then we could put it on Barrett Jackson.
I know, huh? And I still have the title and everything. And how did
you
guys get that on Barrett Jackson?
You could donate all the proceeds to the Wehner Holler Fund.
You know?
That's a good one. I like that fund.
Well, you know, I'm really looking to start my own race team, CA Girl Motorsports.
Yeah, you know, you know how to lose a fortune real fast.
Yeah,
buy
invest
a race.
In a race team.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say take your money and go to Vegas. You've got a better chance of succeeding.
Yeah, you never know what I'm going to succeed in Vegas. So, and it doesn't always stay there.
There you go.
Yeah, no,
that's
but
cool.
I do have one, actually. The license plate says Sam, S-A-M-M-M, because I couldn't just get S-A-M. But
right.
her name is Sam. And I have twin sisters that actually are allowed to drive her. They're 25. They take her to the beach, and I kind of have a fit about that.
Well, I would, too. That's my car, and someone else is driving it. I mean, there's problems there, but.
Yeah,
good for them.
But, you know,
at least they get to enjoy it. You know, they could at least send you photos or do, you know, post videos or something like that.
Yeah, they do. They do all the time. And I'll call my stepdad and say, what's the car doing? Oh, well, I had to move it out of the garage because I bought a new Harley and it's out in the backyard. I couldn't, grass was growing up underneath it. I'll move it next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I'd go out there and go get it and take my chances.
He takes care of it for me. Yeah, he takes care of it for me and shows it and stuff like that. So it's not really a car to drive around, and that's what I would want to do, because I want to be cool, or at least think I'm cool, and I'll drive it and then get stuck in a dirt road and have the Billy Bob or whatever his name is with no teeth down the road come pull me out with a chain.
Yeah,
break something.
Yeah, chains and Camaros, those that wouldn't go together, no.
Yeah, so it's going to stay there. But maybe we'll race it one day.
There you go. Yeah. Marvelous. That's like a hell of a plan.
Yeah,
hey,
okay.
Anything? I mean, I hope I've been able to answer all your questions. I mean,
you're doing wonderful.
Spread rumors. I have reputations to uphold.
Yes, you do. Hey, we have some facts about Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Really?
You want to play the guessing game?
All right.
Okay. First of all, some facts. Indianapolis Motor Speedway has been around since 1909, and it is the original speedway, the first racing facility to incorporate World into its name. Know that?
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
did
it.
You know,
okay.
Did you know there's a golf course in the middle of this bad boy?
No, really?
I'm serious.
I walked past the other day.
I don't know how many holes there are. There's a bunch of them probably in the, I don't know. If I had to guess, it's probably in, I don't know if it's an 18-hole course or not. I'm sure that's easily accessible on Google or something like that. But there is a golf course in the middle of Indianapolis Speedway. Absolutely.
Did you bring your clubs with you?
Geez, I got to tell you, the whole idea of chasing a white ball around all day long and hitting it with a piece of iron, I think I'm all good there. I'll take a zero on that.
Well, I think you just get a zero, you know.
It is a full 18-hole course in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
Really?
And
wow.
I got to be honest with you. My idea of golfing, it has to involve some kind of Power of Paris and a clown and maybe a bear, and it's got to spit the ball back out at me after I shove it
down. And a windmill. You can't forget
the windmill. And a windmill. Got to have a windmill. Got to have a windmill.
Yeah.
That's about as far as
golf. And then when no one's looking, kind of just like roll it in the hole. Huh?
Absolutely.
You just roll it in the hole. I use my foot as a club.
Exactly. Those things happen every day. Accidents happen.
I have a club foot. It's okay. I have a club foot.
Exactly. Club foot. There you go. Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We all know that there's been 18 NASCAR Sprint Cup races there. And there will be one NASCAR Nationwide race there as of Saturday. There's four drivers that have competed in all 18 races. Can you name them?
Are they actively racing?
Touch and go.
Okay,
Terry Labonte. Some are. No, sir.
But Terry Labonte's not racing this weekend, so it can't be him.
Bobby LeBron.
I'm gonna say Nemechek's probably one of them.
No, sir.
Really?
Really? Jeff Gordon. Bobby Labonte and Mark Martin.
Really? I would never have guessed go ahead.
Do you know who won the first poll?
It wasn't me. but I'm going to go, go ahead.
No, yes, you talking.
No. See, I could actually be cheating right now because I do have my computer up and I'm not going to do that.
I'll let you know. It's Rick Nash in 1994.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back when
who won the inaugural race?
Do what now?
Who won the inaugural race?
Can I give him a hint?
Yeah. Let me guess.
No.
Jeff Gordon.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually remember that because that was the big claim to fame. The kid who was conveniently now from Indiana, who normally is from California, wins the race.
He was from Mission Viejo or Viejo, how they call it, California,
yeah.
Which is maybe 110 miles from San Diego, where I grew up. We're about the same age. But, yeah, it never happened. So.
And it's also 1,800 miles from Indianapolis. But, geez, guess what? You lived in Indiana for a couple of weeks, so now you're an Indianian.
Well, he moved there when he was 16 because of the racing laws. Because in California, he could only go so far. Because California,
right.
You know, we have all these funky laws. So his family moved him when he was 16 because of his career. Anything else you want to know about Mr. Gordon?
Actually, that's way more than I needed to know. But thank you for sharing.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
You have to give him props, and it's actually a lot of people don't realize how long Jeff's been in this sport.
How long?
But I, you know, there was a time when racing was really, really old school, and that was the day. And I don't blame him. It's not his fault. But that was the day that racing changed. That's when it was no longer about old school racing. That's when it became a business.
Sometimes all it takes is one person to turn the sport around. And he's done a wonderful job at it. The marketing for it is unreal.
But if we don't find somebody else real quick, we're all going to be out of a job.
Yeah,
if we don't
find the next Earnhardt or the next Gordon or the next Johnson, you got to keep going up with the fresh faces to keep the sport living.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that that's where the problem lies, is we're looking for the next Earnhardt, the next Gordon, and the next Johnson.
Why don't we start looking for the next Bell? We need
to find the next awesome driver. The problem is that nowadays, your driving ability is based upon the size of your checkbook. I can teach you to drive if you've got money. If you don't have money, mm-hmm. I can't help you out. Sorry. Next.
I can put you in the top 15 with my car as long as you can keep it on the track.
As long as you bring me a check every week, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You want to finish 40th every week? Okay, here's what it's going to cost you to finish 40th every week. If you want to finish in the top 10.
No.
Yeah, there's no more. I drive for so and so.
No. We're all about. Hey, listen. I've got $40,000. Would you let me race your car this weekend?
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Give me the $40,000. I'm gonna take $39,000 of that. Put it in my pocket. We'll give you $1,000 to go racing with. Have a nice day. I'm
don't
not standing
forget
in
buy your own tires.
Yeah, but yeah. By the way, you can buy your own tires too. And
right.
What's the name of your sponsor too? Because I need to steal them while we're at it. So,
I know, right?
It's sad. It really is. I feel so bad. There is so much talent out there across this country that doesn't have the financial backing that should be in a car. I mean, let's face it. All right, and somebody's listening. Oh, I'm like hammered on this. There's a guy out there that drives a car that may or may not have a National Guard sponsorship. I can't remember what his sponsor is, but it may or may not have that sponsorship. If his name was John Smith, he would not be in that race car. Okay?
No, you're right.
One win in four years? Are you kidding me? I know guys that have lost rides because they didn't get a win in 6 months. But
look at Logano. Look at Logano. I mean, everyone's thinking he's going to be out because he's not producing.
He's not winning every week.
He is
but
doing
you know
something.
What? Well, you know, he's out there doing.
I am on the air. Hold on. I've got a 12-year-old coming to the defense of Joey Logano running from the other room.
Nice.
Do you hear her? What did you say about him? We're just talking about his drivability, honey.
I know. It's awesome, right?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I've got Wayne, the Holler driver, on the phone.
The kid's actually producing this year. Joey's actually doing a pretty good job this year.
Yeah, he won at Pocono.
Right.
Which really surprised everybody because they didn't think he would.
Right, but he's been finishing in the top 10, top 15. Is that producing something?
I mean, where is he at in points? I don't know. Let me pull it up. I wasn't even prepared. We don't normally do points.
Apparently, somebody just got marketing him correctly. Because if you go to Home Depot, you don't see a lot of Logano around like you did when Tony was there.
You're right. Who do I need to call?
Right. You know that, and that could all be all about. They might be slowly backing out of the sport. You know, maybe they said, "Listen, we've ridden this pony as long as we can go." And by the way, everybody knows who Home Depot is. We don't need a race car out there to show them.
Yeah, I mean, You don't see the TV commercials anymore either, like you did when Smoke was on there. You saw a couple when Logano first moved over, and that
right.
was about
I love
it.
That one, How to Build a Race Team. Yeah,
they were shopping in the aisles for the race team.
That was a funny commercial.
That was a wonderful commercial. I think that's when the 12-year-old, who was probably 9 then, has decided that that was her driver, more her age.
I look back to
when they had Tony on there, and they were doing different things of him, you know, destroy the house, win a race, and they don't do anything like that. After he would win, they'd have a special commercial come out going, I had to go to Home Depot to fix this week because I broke it, and now I won. And you don't see that with Joey.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I've got Joey at point 16th in points. You know what? I'm going to say he's producing something because he's ahead of Jeff.
Wow.
So he's got to be producing because, you know, Jeff is the all and mighty. But, yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of it out there right now, regardless. There's a lot of kids that deserve to be in rides that aren't. And that's something I wish NASCAR would, you know, like with baseball, basketball, football. I'm not trying to make our sport like them, but there's a thing out there called scouts. And some of these owners that have these millions and millions and millions of dollars, they should be finding these drivers and giving them an opportunity. Not telling them how much money can you bring to me, but finding that one needle in a haystack and saying, "All right, I'm going to invest in you." But nobody does that anymore.
I want to talk about something to that effect. I don't know if anybody realized that there was a reality show about stock car drivers called Racing for a Living.
Racing for a Living.
I'm trying to pull it up now. And they started interviewing drivers and, you know, testing drivers out, going through this whole process. And it just kind of went defunct. It never took off. But these drivers were racing to become the next NASCAR driver at some aspect. And
right.
It stopped.
Well, what do you think, Wayne, too? We have the diversity program. What do you think of that? And how many drivers can you say you've seen come out of that program? I know I can name a couple that were in it and never came out.
You know what? Unfortunately, what I think of it, somebody out there is going to say I'm a racist, but here's what I think of it. I shouldn't put you in my race car because of your nationality, your color, your creed. I should put you in my race car because you can drive my race car. How come they don't have a diverse? How come they don't have a diversity program for poor white kids?
Hello.
And it's really tough to get in that program. Like, they have it for the ladies, but it's really, really tough for a woman to even get in that program because that's part of the diversity program is a woman. And it's like, well, why should we have to be considered a diversity in the sport?
And for what it's worth,
Let's go back to the stats.
Go back to what?
The Indy stats.
Yeah, I probably ought to. Because I'm going to go in real deep here. I'm going to go in real deep, but I don't have my scuba gear.
Oh, that's not good. No shovel either?
Yeah. I mean, there's just certain things that happen because they have to, not because they just said, geez,
right.
Here's a great idea.
Right. All righty. Now, there were 15 different pole winners, and one driver had three poles. Who was that driver?
I hate the thought of even saying that it was Gordon, but that's probably who it was.
So just say the number instead of him. How's that?
Okay. 11.
The 12 times was it?
Yep. All right, hold on. 11 drivers have won. Led by Jeff Gordon with 4 victories. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Most winning driver there. Jimmy Johnson has 3. Dale Jarrett and Tony Stewart both have 2. And then there's multiple single winners.
Tony's going to do it again this weekend.
Who?
Tony's going to do it again this weekend and tie up the
rest. Tony's not. Yeah, he's going to make me sick. Okay. Now, the furthest back a race winner has started in Indianapolis was 27, and he won. Who was that driver?
Derek Cope.
Jeff Gordon.
God.
Jeff,
so what are we,
okay,
are we,
this is the Jeff Gordon track? This really is what it is.
Yeah,
and that's my pick. That's my pick. Jeff Gordon's going to win.
Unfortunately, I don't know. You know what? Good for him. And you know what? He deserves to win, I guess.
Hold on. Here's another one.
I mean,
The youngest driver at the track that's ever won.
let me guess. That would have to be the 12 times 2?
Yes.
At 23 years old in 2 days. That was in 1994.
How do you think he feels about hiring the 48 driver, the guy that's basically just stomped all over him since he's been there?
I don't think he really minds it a whole lot other than when they're side by side.
Yeah.
You know, according to the conversations that we have on numerous accounts, you know, because Jeff and I, you know, we chat all the time. That's how I know all these facts and stats about him. Not that I don't pull it off of JC or anything.
Now, do you call that a doll or an action figure that you sit down and talk with?
You know what? Shut up, Wayne, because mine is a stand up, a full over stand up, and he's plastered to the wall.
Nice, nice.
He's up. My friend calls him Ben. Your bend. There's your bend over. So Jeff Gordon is my definite pick for Indy.
Yeah. Well, you know, those things can happen. And you know what? You could be right. Yeah, who knows? Somebody's going to win it. I haven't seen the script yet, so I'm really not sure exactly who's going to win. But I'm going to guess you might be – I don't know. He hasn't performed really this year.
No, he hasn't.
But then again, you know, stranger things have happened. So.
Last year at this time, though, is when he started picking it up because he wanted Pocono.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was last year.
Yeah.
A year older now.
That's true.
whatever. Y'all leave him alone.
He's
he
all right.
Just,
no,
he might just
you know,
do
I,
it.
I'm gonna say this about that, and I will. Of the drivers that are in that stable in the Cup Series, anything that I have ever seen, he is probably the most fan-friendly.
Really?
As far as stopping. Now, that's now. He didn't always used to be that way.
Since he became a daddy.
Yeah, I think that might have changed a lot of it. And now he's, you know, you'll see him stopping and signing autographs and not huffing and puffing or walking as fast as he can or automatically,
yeah.
Geez, look at this, I got to take a cell phone call. Sorry, I got to talk on my phone right now while I'm walking towards these fans who paid big money to be here today.
Yeah, he actually it's really nice.
Yeah, your mic's messing up again, Tam.
Oh, great.
Okay, I thought it was my phone.
I
was like, wait a minute, I'm not in the water. Really, this isn't me.
No, it's hers. Everyone tells
there
me
you
that,
go.
I don't know, she has a confliction with her mic and her headphones or something.
And we just spent a lot of money and it didn't help.
Yes, right?
It's almost like you had
well,
multiple calls coming in at the same time.
Yeah.
Only
different.
Well, but
no,
anyways.
I do have to say that fan-friendly, I personally think Matt Kenseth is.
Really?
No.
I do. I just
I've seen
love
him get
Matt
bonked
Kenseth.
On the head. I've seen a kid bonk him on the head with a helmet and say, why don't you smile?
Yeah, because
but
that's just
again,
who I am. But see, unfortunately, a lot of people, I understand that they have a job to do to sign an autograph.
Right.
I have actually been out in public with a couple of pretty big names. And if you're going to the restroom and you're standing there trying to take care of some business and some bonehead says,
no, really?
Oh, my God, can I have your autograph? And if you're rude to them, the next day you're reading on the Internet about how he stiffed me or he ignored me. Or there's always two sides to that story. If I visibly see a guy stiffing a kid, that's wrong. If you read about it, well, okay, what was the circumstances surrounding it? Was it they had their children with them, they had their wife with them, they had and even sponsor obligations should take a back seat to the fans because it's the fans who buy the sponsor's product. So the sponsor obligation
right.
should actually sit back to that.
But
a lot of times people don't respect – imagine this. Imagine you're in the mall tomorrow, all right, and a complete stranger comes running towards you holding something in their hand. What is your first reaction? Oh, my God, what are they? You know what I'm saying? Okay, well, the fans know the driver, but the driver has no idea who the fan is. You know what I'm saying?
But the driver knows why they're running towards them.
Yes, but...
Really? I mean, if someone
no, you're right.
up
no,
with
no,
me,
you're
I'd
right.
stick my
you're,
foot out and trip them and say, geek, watch out.
You're right, but
the drivers can't do that.
But at the same time, listen, there's a time and a place for everything. I will sign whatever it is you want me to sign. But just ask me. Don't. I've seen fans go nuts.
And
all right, yeah, I guess. And it's hard for me to kind of look at it in another angle because I'm with them every single day. But they're just people. We appreciate everything that y'all do because y'all support us, but they're just people. And more often than not, if you catch them at the right time, and now there's some that it doesn't matter what's going on in their life. They're not going to stop and sign an autograph. Again, the National Guard kid, I totally understand why he can't because every time he does something, it creates a mob.
Ryan Newman?
No, the National Guard.
No. I was thinking Army.
No, not the Army guy, the National Guard guy.
Yeah, well, you know, that National Guard guy?
Yeah.
You know, didn't his daddy send him there too?
Yeah.
No,
oh,
no,
true.
That was military camp. Yeah, he's
well,
kind of a.
Yeah.
And you brought up a great point.
All right.
I know I've seen people follow the drivers into the bathrooms. I've seen it twice now happen where the
right.
people are
oh,
following them in, chasing them in. I've seen men go in the women's room to follow Danica.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but good for them.
Well, now, Wayne, with you being a hauler driver,
yep.
I mean, I've seen it there firsthand. You know, we're sitting outside the hauler, and people just walk on in. Like, that hauler is just public access.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of your teams, you'll see that big sign on the door that says, it's a mere suggestion, of course, at times, it says, you know, crew and team members only.
Sure. Right.
I have had that happen. I actually, a couple of years ago, I actually made the mistake of leaving my truck unlocked, and there was a fan that was inside my truck that was actually going to go for a ride, wanted to ride with me to the next track because they were a huge fan and they wanted to meet the driver that I was pulling around. Yeah, that can
really?
Become a little,
oh my God.
And that's okay, I'm going to whoop your ass now because you're in
yeah,
my truck.
Exactly.
You know, that
yeah,
would
that's
be like,
kind of scary.
And then there's also other fans. I'll give you an example. I will give you a perfect example. Today, I had some lug nuts in my hand. Just call 4 or 5 lug nuts, just call it. There was a couple of little kids standing by the fence line, oohing and ahhing, and I say little kids, fans, folks, there is a certain age limit that you really should consider. Don't drag a 3- and 4-year-old kid around the racetrack. It's not fun for them, trust me.
It's not fun for the parents either.
You know what? The parents are the ones that are doing it. You find another option. Lock them in the closet, put them in a dresser drawer, whatever you got to do. But
whatever.
You know what?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I get down on my knees, I talk to the little kids, and the first thing I do is this is just because I love the looks on little kids' faces. You see what kind of gear they're wearing. Say, for instance, he's wearing an M&M shirt, and I tell him, I was like, you know what this car came off? This came off the M&M guy. And you hand him that, oh, wow, that lug nuts. Well, anyways, there was a guy standing there. There was like, there was 3 little kids. I had 4 or 5 lug nuts. This guy actually stepped over one of the kids and said, oh, my God, can I have one of those? And I had to look at him and say, a little old, aren't you? I mean, you serious? Okay. So I said, here you go. You can have a valve stem cover. You know. But, you know, it's like.
We can put it on his car.
I hand him a valve stem cover. I said, there you go. There you go, kid. You're happy now.
In their defense, you know, I'm going to admit it, okay? I'm admitting I have a problem, and I probably need a little bit of help. But when I got Jeff Gordon's lug nut, I still have it. I still carry it around. And
how
I
do you
wear
know
it
was his?
Like
do you
a
know
ring,
that it was
because
his?
I got it. Yes, I know.
Okay. All right. So you know for a fact it was part of his crew. Okay.
Yes, I do. No, for a fact, I was right there. I was in the pits right there. I wear it on my finger, and I like
really?
Twist it like a worry thing, and I wear it all the time. Now my other lug nut for my all time favorite driver. We all know I love Jeff Gordon, but we know who my favorite driver is. Who
probably
I would
Kevin
pick
Harvick,
over
right?
anybody.
Tony Stewart.
No. I would pick this driver over all of them, even Jeff
Gordon.
Oh,
let me guess. It's BJ, CJ, JT.
Yeah.
JT Dingling. JT Dingling. Yeah, I know him. Yeah, he's my thunder buddy. He's my thunder buddy. Yeah.
Well, now, with my TJ Bell lug nut, I mean, and mind you, I have these, and these are precious to me. These lug nuts are precious to me. This came off of TJ Bell's car. And
really?
How do I know? Because I picked it up out of the pit stall while the race was still going on. I know.
Really?
It's him.
Now, let me ask you a question.
And,
when you did this,
and that is
did,
on
you
my
trample over, did you trample over a small child to do it?
I probably would have if there
but
was,
you?
You know, if Melanie wouldn't have been behind me already.
Ah, okay.
No, I wouldn't have. But
you know what I'm saying.
But the adult fans.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a fan perspective, you know, because I've been on both sides. An adult fan who all of a sudden somehow, some way got in that pit, is in that garage area or where they can actually have something, that is just something that is just remarkably precious to them. My from Jeff Gordon, I would have killed for. And still, I panic. You can ask my daughter, Melanie, where's my lug nut? Where's my lug nut? Which one? My Jeff Gordon one. You know? I mean, I understand.
I've got envisionment. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have these envisionments of you in a home when you're like 80 years old, wandering around going, where's my lug nut?
Call PJ, give me a new lug nut.
Yeah,
that will be me. My OCD, my lug nuts. So I understand these adult fans. And you know what, it's just almost, and I've never done it because believe me, kids always come first. But you just seem to forget what is not in your eye level. And you have something from, you told these kids from M&M, Driver, I would throw it. But, you know, he might like that. So he has to have it. I understand. That's all.
Well,
me being a psychopath with lug nuts, but.
Regardless, even if the kid had a DuPont shirt on, I'd tell him it came from the DuPont guy.
And
that's just what kids need to hear.
It does, and it means everything to them. You know, when I come home from covering a race, my kids don't go, who'd you see? Mom, did you get any lug nuts?
That's
the first thing they're looking for. They don't care. They know that I can't get autographs. They know I can't get that kind of stuff. But they think it's the coolest thing in the world if I bring them home a single lug nut. And that's like
there
the coolest
go.
Thing they've ever gotten.
And that's
cool.
And they are cool.
I got three of them in my purse. My keychain, my Jeff Gordon one, and a floaty.
Okay, there's a fine line between really cool and being obsessively possibly
my lug nut.
Nutty.
Nutty over nuts.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You want to rob me? You're going to rob me. Okay, here's my wallet. Here's my credit card. Here's my PIN number. If you touch the lug nuts, I'm going to shoot you.
You take my lug nuts, and I'm going to kill you.
Now, wait. If you put all of them together, though, it could be a good weapon.
But no,
they could, actually.
TJ's is on my keychain. His is on my keychain. The other one I leave in my purse, and I just flip it on my index finger, and I just twist it around.
Ow.
All right. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Phil on to help me.
Wow.
No, I'm feeling really sick. I'm like curling up in a ball in the fetal position. Oh, no.
All I do is have mine sitting on my desk at work, so then they all ask what it is, and I tell them, and I give them TJ's fan page, and then they go check it out.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. No way.
My conversation starter at my work, at my office, when I'm doing their paperwork.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say, but you know how I am with this luck. And by the way, I have your thing here. It's in my drawer. I haven't sent it yet. Your bracelet is in my drawer.
Oh, my Lord. I thought there was something, an incident that may have took place that I was unaware of.
Unaware of, no. But you know how I am with the luck things. There's just a luck thing for me.
I hear you.
And that's all it is, because I'm not superstitious. I don't believe in stuff like that. I don't, you know, and I believe in God. But those lug nuts just overcome everything. And
so
I think we need a lug nut intervention.
So I guess what we're getting at is if you're seen somewhere in a corner rocking back and forth, just holding your lug nut, petting it, you know, going, oh, it's my little friend. I love you. I hold you. I kiss you. I squeeze you. You are my little friend. That's all good.
It's all good. Just ask which
one
is
that? About the lug nut.
That's all about.
And you know what? But you're right, though. To a little kid, that's something they'll never, ever, ever forget. Every single crew guy that's out there should stop and give a kid a lug nut. Because guess what? That kid's a future fan, and I guarantee you do that once, he'll be a fan for life.
Oh, yeah. It just makes their day. I know, like, when we moved into our house, that was the first thing the kids made sure they packed was the lug nut. Got to make sure we have the lug nuts from the races that Mom's brought home from us because we can't lose them. I don't care about my toys. I have to take these lug nuts with me.
Because it's a memory. It's a memory of something fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's something they enjoy. It also, it's a connection to their mom. They say, listen, my mom, I know that this is something that my mom loves and appreciates, so this is my connection to her when she's too busy out on the track chasing drivers up and down the
Do you think that's why I hold them? That's why this is just my connection when they're too busy to realize that I'm here.
Yeah, no,
but
you know,
I get up and get my keys and get my lug nut and I'm twisting it. If I was on Skype, y'all would see it.
You know, hi, my name's Wayne, and I'm an alcoholic, and, you know, there is a 12-step program for lug nutters.
Yeah. Well, you know, and now that we're talking about that, I mean, I just want to just come, Wayne is on. I just, 12-year-old said, what's up, Wayne?
Yo, what up, D-O-G?
Yo, what up, D-O-G? This here, what does this mean? And what do I do with these? You put them on your fingers.
Nice.
As rings.
You know, I have one sitting on my desk here, and I'm trying to figure out how you do it. It won't fit on my fingers.
It fits on my finger. I have little fingers. Well, you know what? I can't fit this one on because it's around the key ring, but normally it slips right on, and I can just, you know, twist it, and you can put it on your pinky. It just, it's like a worry thing. All right. Now, back to the facts.
All right.
With that fact. That fact is played out.
I think we're out of time. We have a half an hour. We're good.
We're not talking about my lug nuts anymore.
All right.
Okay. Now, there are four NASCAR drivers that are in the top 50 of money earners of sports altogether, all sports. You know, we know the first one. So the first one is Tiger Woods. He's number one. He's earned the most money in sports.
Yeah.
But then it goes to Phil Mickelson, Floyd Mayweather. What is he?
He's a boxer.
Who is he?
Floyd Mayweather. He's a boxer.
Well, if it has nothing to do with NASCAR, I really don't know. Or Tiger Woods. I don't know. Let's see. He earned $85 million without a single endorsement. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
and then he's pretty good, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Well, then it drops down to our NASCAR drivers. Four of the drivers are on this top 50 list. Believe it or not, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is in the number one out of all four drivers.
Well, of course he is. As many T-shirts as he sells. I mean, think about all the trinkets. Think about all the trinkets.
Yeah, $28,164,690.
And I would be interested to find out exactly how much of that is actual race winnings, and I bet it's a very small amount.
Yeah, because it says in salary, winnings, and endorsements.
Right.
So actually, Dale Earnhardt is ranked 8th out of the top 50.
Wow.
8th out of the top 50.
Wow.
And the All Almighty comes in at 18th out of 50.
Yes.
The No Brush Teeth guy, Tony Stewart.
Yes.
In 29.
Yes.
And Jimmy Johnson actually comes in 33rd.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
kind of
hard to believe. Imagine that, though.
Yeah.
But, good for them.
You know, but look at Junior and Jeff. Those are endorsements. How much do you want to bet? Now, Jeff Gordon has one, but Jimmy has one more than Jeff.
Yeah, you would think so, but I would have to guess. But he also, Jeff also had that DuPont deal for a lot of years. I mean, Jeff Gordon, come on. When the Rainbow Warriors were kicking it, I mean,
How many million-dollar pots did he win?
Yeah, you know, I really do find that hard to believe, especially for his seven-time champion. I mean, come on.
This was released on the 21st.
Huh.
Sports Illustrated released this on the 21st.
But that's possible, though, because Jeff had actually been racing for quite some time before Jimmy came along. So, you know, he had a lot of
And you got to think, too, you got to remember, too, back when Jeff was coming up, people were buying anything and everything was a collectible. Nowadays, people aren't buying as much of that collectible stuff because back then you could find anything you wanted. NASCAR was in every department store you could think of.
Right.
Now it's kind of more back to the specialty stores.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go through the Prices Keep Falling store. If you go in there, they don't have a huge selection of NASCAR stuff anymore.
No, they don't.
Now they have one little 2-foot section.
One little teeny tiny section of NASCAR stuff.
Now, for Mother's Day, I did get a NASCAR Barbie.
Yeah.
They did have a. She was wearing.
That doesn't.
I swear to you. $50. My daughter bought it for me for Mother's Day. It cost. She's Mama. I need $50. What for Barbie? I said, you don't even like Barbies. She says, but there's a Barbie I want to get you. I said, Melanie,
wow.
I don't like Barbies. And she came home. I gave her the $50 because she's just spoiled that way. And she came home with a Jeff Gordon Barbie.
Barbie
now, it wasn't
doll.
Jeff Gordon. It was a Barbie doll, but she was all in these little pants and all Jeff Gordoned out. And, yes, now you can't find that nowhere.
Nice.
And I opened the package. Now it's not worth anything.
Yeah, but you know what? For what it's worth, half the people that have collectibles right now bought them because they said it was a collectible, but it's actually worth nothing anyways.
Yeah, everything's the prices have dropped down on everything. All the stuff that I store and all the stuff on my kids' wall, it's worth nothing. I might as well just let them open up and play with it at this point.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Well,
she's down about all that.
It.
But you know what? It is what it is. I mean, these guys, they some of the stuff that is collectible, maybe hold on to it, but I mean, who's to determine what is worth more, the happiness of seeing a child play with a toy or holding on to it for years and years and years and don't you even think about opening that because in a few years that's going to be your college education. You know, I mean, come on.
And it doesn't work like that anymore. They just, nothing's holding
their
value like it used to and, you know, it's like, here, just play with it, you know. We just finally got to the point where we just start buying. I'm going, here, play with it, enjoy it.
Well, and that goes right back to where we were at earlier, that if things don't change, we're in some trouble. I mean, I don't know anywhere we've sold out this year. And if you watch any race, there's a lot of empty seats.
Yes, there is.
If you come to a race, there's a lot of empty canton spaces.
And even
now,
when they're doing the $25 tickets at some of the tracks. Like Dover did a $25 ticket special last year, and they still couldn't fill the stands.
And the biggest problem with that, of course, is because media accessibility. I mean, let's face it, I'll be honest with you. If I was a fan, I don't know that I'd want to once, maybe twice come to a race, but after that, I know what it's like. I know what it's all about. Sitting at home is kind of a little bit more convenient, and guess what? I can listen to my driver on one of the satellite TV companies. I can listen to them, or I can go to a satellite radio company. I can listen to the conversations with my driver. I don't have to be at the track.
Or I can use my Sprint phone.
Or I can just use my Sprint phone, and I can listen to everything that's going on. I don't need to be there. I can not only can I be doing something else, but I can mentally say, oh, wow, I'm at the racetrack. And when they're talking about turn three, I can say, yeah, I've been there before. I know what it looks like. When they're talking about the infield care center, I say, oh, yeah, I've seen that. I've walked by that. And that's what accessibility to the fans has become so large that nothing's mysterious anymore.
That's true.
I mean, you look at any race, and if you've been there, you know that the pit area during a race is ignorant. I mean, one of these days, and I hate to say this, please forgive me for saying this, somebody's going to get killed someday. And that's what's going to find – and I don't – you know what? God bless the fans. Thank you so very, very much. But guess what? When you're at your office on Monday morning, I'm not sitting there getting in your way. Well, guess what? Pit Road, that's my office, and you need to go sit in the stands and watch from there.
They've really changed Pit Road. I mean, before, you know, you had to stay behind this – you know, not just behind the wall, not just behind the line,
but there was a fence behind. There was a
and
fence
that was
between
the
you.
The only people that can come here are the people with the credentials, whether they be your hard card or whether it be your team credentials.
All you got to do is buy them.
That was it.
You can just go. You can buy them. You can buy a pass. You can just go. You can go to the ticket booth and buy
your
yourself
a pass.
Your
right? Right.
You know?
And you can have race time pit passes, and it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a crowded situation.
With that as well, used to be, as crew members, you see how we have to dress. We have to have closed-toe shoes. We have to have long pants, you know, shirts.
Long sleeves.
They allow short-sleeve shirts. But if you look at how some of the fans come into the pit area, an area that they're completely 100%, most of them are completely unfamiliar with, are in there with open-toed sandals, shorty short shorts, bikini tops.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That you're asking for a problem. But because the sport is begging for fans, they said, you know what? Okay. There's no longer a dress code for fans.
That's
crew members,
who
are around this stuff all the time have to have a dress code. But a complete stranger who walks in off the street that doesn't know a lug nut from a tire cap can walk in here with flip flops, shorts, and a tank top.
Yeah, and God forbid one of them gets hurt, you know, because they're not covered up. Something splashes on them or anything like that. It's not safe.
If you watch them, like we'll be loading stuff from the say from the hall or down onto pit road. People have no idea what's going on. They'll walk right out in front of you, pushing a huge toolbox. You're pushing a cool down. You'll be pushing the car. I've seen cars come through the garage area, and people just la, 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 la. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm at a racetrack. I'm in the pit area, and I'm not paying attention to anything around me. And here comes a car flying around the corner. And now
yeah,
the driver's an ass because he – that driver's an ass. He almost ran me over. Can you believe that? Well, guess what? You're in his ball field right now.
Right. Texas Motor Speedway, prime example. That garage area in the Nationwide garage, when they come around, they're making two turns to get on the front side or the back side. The front side, you know, there's no turns. But when they're coming around to the back side of the garage, they have to, and that's where the restrooms are, mind you.
Not a lot of thinking there.
You know, not at all. Now, it was just November of 2011, there was a dress code.
Right.
It's just
right.
This year that they've stopped that dress code.
Yep, they lifted it this year.
Yep.
And then these people, would it have their children in the garage area? Melanie is not allowed to leave the hauler.
Right.
You are not allowed to leave the hauler without
And it actually
adults.
It actually used to be enforced that minors were not allowed in the garage or pit area during hot conditions. And there was actually only a certain time period that they were allowed in there. And it's usually on race day between qualifying and race time.
Those rules do still apply. There are exceptions.
Well,
you know,
yeah, but they're not – I don't think they're enforced.
No, I will tell you they are enforced because of the fact. Yes, we had to have our driver come up and sign, who you know is Melanie's cousin, quote unquote.
Right. Right.
Had to go and sign. Not only did he have to go up there and sign for her, we had to get special permission from Swindell before she was even allowed anywhere near there. Yeah, so it is still the same. But the kids that you see in there, the ones that are part of your team, they have the special permission. Therefore, they can, you know, come and go. But a lot of them, you know, they are enforced. At one point, we were sitting on the pit wall. You weren't with us yet, but we were sitting on the pit wall, and Melanie was sitting there, and I believe Ryan had just come up and dropped off the pit box. Well, Melanie was still sitting there, and I was standing back a little bit. Well, someone from NASCAR and Speed came up to her and asked for her credentials.
Really?
They wanted to see him. Oh, yes. And then they saw, you know, that she had the proper credentials that were signed right, that she could be anywhere in the garage area. And then they asked me if they could interview her because they wanted to know how hard was it for her to get this specific credential because it's normally not allowed. And she told him, well, this is the process, you know, I'm, you know, this driver's cousin, blah, 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 and, you know, and went through it that way. So it is enforced with the minors in the garage. But the problem is the miners come in the garage areas and the pit areas during the allotted times, but when it's not the allotted time, the guards, officials, it's not even the officials, it's
the track security
the track
guards.
Workers.
Right,
they
right.
don't know any better.
Right.
And I will tell you what, I can bribe any one of them. I'm going to take them a rib. I'm going to take them something. Hey, I'm going to be
right,
right back
yeah.
with my friend, but just don't even worry about it. I'll be right back.
And
oh,
no, and I actually tell people that all the time. I say, if you want to get in anywhere, get yourself a clipboard, a lanyard around your neck, and a cell phone. You can go anywhere you want to go at any given time.
Exactly.
And nobody's going to stop you.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's going to stop. And that's
exactly.
not just in this sport. That's in anything. I mean, I was in another form of entertainment before I actually fully became involved
don't
in wrestling.
Don't tell people that.
What's that?
Don't tell people that.
Don't tell them what? What, that there's other forms
you
of entertainment?
You were in that other form of entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? What people don't realize, and I guess we'll just let this little tidbit out right now. There's a movie that came out. It was called... Well, it was originally supposed to be called Magic Wayne, but due to the fact that I wouldn't allow my name to be used, they had to change it to Magic Mike instead. So, you know, it is what it is. These things happen from time to time.
Wayne's
and, yeah.
World. Wayne's
yeah.
World. You got a little yep. confused there.
No, it's Wayne's World, but it's also called, you know, it's my own little world of magic dancing. Magic Wayne, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
hey, it's
Lord.
My fantasy. It's my fantasy. Let me work with this, all right? There we go.
Well, let me get my lug nut. I'll be okay. You can do what you want. I got my lug nut. I'm fine. Go ahead.
Wait, I
there
feel left
go.
Out now.
Oh, Tammy, we're so sorry. What's your little world?
No, I'll just get my camera out. I'm good. I'll just go take some pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, it's that
no,
working
no.
yet.
All right. So how did practice go today?
Yeah.
Did you watch any of
that?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Yeah, see, they're actually doing things weird this weekend. We parked haulers yesterday morning. If you've never been here, we actually, from where our haulers are parked to where the garage area is at, it's a journey. You kind of need a GPS to go from one to the other.
Really?
So yeah, we actually had to park our haulers yesterday. We had to unload the entire bottom deck, which would have consisted for us consists of the tire cart, the fuel cart, the fuel cans, the pit box, and the toolbox. And then we have to push them from the truck, from the hauler, all the way back over to the garage area, which, like I said, it's quite a distance. So we did that yesterday. Today we came in and they did what they normally do, which is their safety inspection. Well, normally what we do is we do tech and safety inspection, then we go out and practice. Well, we did safety inspection today. We did practice today. Tomorrow is all tech day. We won't even fire the cars tomorrow.
They put you on the track. They put you on track before they did tech.
Yes, they did. Yep. And another little tidbit of information. We are not going to qualify based upon practice speed this week. We are going to qualify. We're going to qualify old school, draw the number. That's how we're qualifying this week.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Basically conflict of scheduling, because we're here with, there's us, there's the Cup Series, but we're also here with the Rolex Grand Am Series.
Uh-huh.
The Rolex Grand Am is actually racing tomorrow, practicing and racing tomorrow, I believe.
Now, Wayne, you just brought up something I got to know. When you guys park, do you have to wait for all the rigs to get there before you park, or how does that work?
Yeah, actually, we do. Everybody, we have a set time, and it's all free, you know, it's all an itinerary that we receive from NASCAR. They email it usually to the team owner, and then it's up to them to make sure that we receive it. And it has a complete itinerary as far as hauler parking is at a certain time. And we park based upon owner's points. So whoever is leading owner points parks first, whoever is the lowest in owner's points parks last, and everybody follows in between based upon owner's points.
So you can't just show up and go, I'm here, let me park. You have to wait for your specified time.
No, not only do you have to wait for you, okay, let's just say, we'll use yesterday, for example. Hall of parking was at 9 a.m., which means you probably should be there by 8 o'clock because somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock they do a roll call, and they basically call out everybody's truck number, are you here? And at the same time as they're doing the roll call, they do it in the order of how you're going to park because, of course, week to week, owner's points change. So just because you park here this week, you might be parking somewhere else next week. So once they do all of that, the person who's in charge of doing roll call is the hauler driver for last year's series champion. So this for instance, this year it's Ricky Stenhouse's hauler driver who's in charge of making sure that all the haulers are parked correctly.
Wow!
Delegated. Yeah, well, because he's the series, he's like our leader now because he's the champion. You know, he's pulling around the chain. He's the 2012 series champion. So
if your driver was the champion, you would do it next year.
Yes, I would. I would be the one that does roll call. I would be the first one to park. Anybody that had any questions about how we park or any questions about anything that's going on, they would have to come to me and I would try to find an answer for them.
Is that an additional salary from NASCAR?
No, that's just
that's kind of, you know, a lot of responsibility is to get 43 haulers, more than 43 haulers.
Wait a minute, you may have misunderstood me. All he does is gets on the radio and says, okay, guys, here's how we're parking this week. Okay, now when we go to park, we're either doing a hauler parade or we're driving into the track. Once we get into the track itself, NASCAR then takes over. We'll have one person on the left fender, one left front fender, one person on the right front fender, one person on the left rear trailer, one person on the right rear trailer, one person directing you. And all you do is watch the person who's directing you. You don't look in your mirrors. You don't do anything other than watch them. And they'll tell you to turn left, turn right, go forward, slow down, go backwards, left. You know, and there's a guy also who stands between your trailer and the trailer that's previously parked before you. And basically we park, if you could imagine this, take your elbow, put it up against the wall. Put your elbow up against the wall and out to your fist is how close we park. And it's not like you're going to get fired for this, but it's a general rule that you get one shot to do it. And if you can do it one shot, that's just kind of like a prestige thing of, yep, did it one shot. You're talking about, I mean, that's a lot of truck and trailer to put into a small hole in one shot.
Now, what happens if you're late arriving?
Okay, so you know that you're going to be late. You make a phone call to NASCAR. Basically, it's usually the driver, the hauler driver won't do it. It's usually the car owner or somebody higher up in the team that will notify the nationwide officials, listen, my guy's going to be late. My guy broke down on the side of the road. We had an incident a couple of weeks ago in New Hampshire. Our truck broke down on the way to the track, and we actually didn't get there until after everybody parked, so we just ended up parking at the end of the line. That's all it was. That's all that happens.
That's
if you're
all.
Late, you just go to the end. You just basically park in the last available spot. Sometimes there's guys that come in after the garage is closing. It's basically you have to make prearrangements with NASCAR because somebody from NASCAR has to be there for you to park. So what happens a lot of times is that they'll, instead of parking overnight, they'll sit there by the gate until NASCAR arrives in the morning, and then NASCAR will sneak them right in there and throw in a parking spot.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
It doesn't sound pretty simple.
Well, I guess it is simple because we do it every single week. Leaving, on the other hand, it can become a bit challenging.
Yeah, because people can leave, but you guys can't leave.
It used to be NASCAR backed us out. NASCAR was there backing us out of our parking spots. Well, a lot of the teams kind of hem and haw and, and another thing, too, is that sometimes NASCAR makes flights for late afternoon, and a lot of these guys, they've got to go. The NASCAR guys have got to get to the airport so they can catch their flight. So as of this year, I think it was, I'm thinking it was Las Vegas. We had a huge meeting, a huge drivers meeting, with the NASCAR officials, and they said, "Listen, you boys, you're big boys. You're grown. You're responsible adults." Anyway, so
fighting out between you guys.
So, anyways, so they said that lie to us, and they says we're no longer going to hang around. You guys are going to police yourselves on backing out, getting yourselves out of your haul, getting your haulers out of your parking spot. So basically, what we do is, give or take a couple of positions, we're pretty much in the same spot every week. We're around the same people every week. Everybody's, you know, it's like anything else. It's like any office or any place of employment. Everybody's got the people, certain people that they hang out with. We all help each other. However, you are correct. We cannot even consider putting our truck in reverse or in forward or moving from our parking position until, and it varies, sometimes it's 45 minutes after the race, or we've actually had races where until the state police notify the track that it's okay for us to leave. Basically, what they do is they try to get all the local traffic out of there first.
Perfect.
And then, and it's, and you know what? That's a good idea. You know, I would much rather wait an extra hour and have no traffic to deal with than to get out of there right now and have to be sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Well, I can tell you with Talladega. Look at Talladega when you try to get out of there.
It's a zoo. You know, there's some
and
places.
In Texas also. That Texas
yeah.
is a nightmare. I mean, I
yeah,
know
it is.
That we all left. Everybody left at the same time, walked to our cars at the same time. But, you
yeah.
know, there was a few that was just a couple cars ahead was out of there an hour before we were.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? That's just kind of one of those, you hear people complaining about it all the time, but, okay, duh. I mean, you put this many people in a small area, there's one way in, one way out. You know, it is what it is. But on the flip side of that coin, again, I ain't never going to this race again. I will never sit in traffic this long. I mean, look at Kentucky a couple of years ago. Last year.
Last year when they couldn't even get into the race
yeah.
to see it.
What do you mean couldn't
right.
win? There was people. There was actually people still trying to get out when we went there just a few weeks ago.
Well, they were still trying to leave the area, huh?
They were still trying to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're starting.
But yeah,
to
I mean these
time.
Things happen. But yeah, it's logistics, and you know what? Here's what I say to people: if you could do it better, then why aren't you doing it? Instead of sitting around
exactly.
complaining about it and bitching and moaning, why don't you go up there and apply for the job? Oh, wait a minute, that's right, because you can't handle the responsibility. So good for them. They get us
yeah,
in there and we
I
work
see.
For them. It's their sandbox. It's their toys. We have to play by their rules.
Yeah. You know, and it looks like we're willing to play.
You know, obviously, because I'm doing it every week, but I won't, they're going to have to, they will actually have to tie, they're going to actually have to do something with me where I end up on the back of a milk carton before I'll leave. So they're not going to get rid of me that easy. I love racing, and this is what I do. And I couldn't, I don't know that I could do a real job. Not that this isn't a real job, because I challenge people to come out and try it. But I couldn't sit in an office all day long. I couldn't sit in a factory. I couldn't work 9 to 5. I have to work from 6 a.m. till 1 a.m. It's just the way it is. So, anyways, you said you're out of time. So, lucky you. Lucky you. You can boot me off the air now. And, geez, so many
oh,
calls.
Oh, I enjoyed
you.
It.
Yes, we're
going
to have
I
you on said- again.
Yes.
Well, yeah, maybe just don't advertise it, and then you get a big, all kinds of people.
You know, I think that you need to come on, you know, on a regular basis and you know, put your 2 cents in on some of these news issues.
Yeah, see, my two cents usually ends up being a buck and a quarter by the time I'm all done.
There's
it's
nothing
just,
wrong
well,
with that.
Okay. I don't mind. I don't mind getting paid extra.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully there's going to be some really, you know what, and we don't know this for sure, but there's hopefully going to be some really big changes coming up real soon. And, you know, one thing about racing, if you don't like what's going on today, you just wait till next week.
Wait till tomorrow.
You know,
right?
You never
right?
know. You never know.
Well, you'll
you know,
be here
I'm
to report the changes.
Well,
Yeah. If I don't report it, I'll send it via, you know, text message or you know, smoke signal or whatever. And you know what? Even if it doesn't happen, we can always start a rumor. You know, hell, that's what most of the NASCAR news is anyway.
I wonder how long our rumors would take to get around.
I actually play that game from time to time just to have fun at the track. You start something, and by the time it gets back to you, like, really? Wow, imagine that.
That's horrible.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's actually fun because it's usually the person who will swear up and down that they don't get involved in politics, and the last thing that they ever do is they don't want to spread rumors. They don't talk about people, and usually they're the one that comes and tells you the rumor that you started to begin with anyways.
Oh, my goodness.
These are the things we do to entertain ourselves.
I know it. And play with lug nuts. So.
And play with lug nuts. Yeah, you know, there's some things that we really should keep to ourselves.
I got my comfort thing. I'll just bake the cookies.
You know what? I got to tell you something. That's my crack. Chocolate chip cookies. The problem with chocolate chip cookies, though, is it's actually a state law somewhere, I think, or maybe it's a federal law. I can't remember. I'd have to look it up. You got to have milk with your cookies. You can't
Didn't y'all get milk with your cookies?
I'll bring you milk next time.
Okay, but it has to be vitamin D.
The cookies.
I get a kick. You had the peanut butter ones also, right? Were they peanut butter or macadamia?
Oh, no, they did chocolate chip from chocolate chip and white chocolate chip.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, chocolate chip and white chocolate chip. Yeah, that's right. No, you're right. And
well,
actually,
what about the ones
when I get the fruit next time, I'll get just
some.
Do what now?
When
what
I go get
the ones that, who's talking? You talk, Tammy.
Oh, no, everybody's talking at once.
I say, when I get the fruit this time, I'll get you milk, too, so.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, actually, I'm a sucker for chocolate chip cookies. They're just, it's one of them things that they got to be crispy, they got to be hard, they can't be soft, and you got to have milk. And I get a kick out of people that go, yeah, but make sure you give me skim milk, please, because, well, okay, you're eating chocolate chip cookies. Go all the way and go vitamin D.
Yes, you got to get the right kind, the whole milk.
The sweet acid awfulest kind, Hey, did you get some that was where did I
Road
send
America.
To?
Road America. Actually, we had those along with a quick story. This has scared the hell out of me. We're in line to park at Road America, and we stopped. And all of a sudden, we get ready to take off, and people start yelling, whoa. I mean, like I'm thinking, holy crap, I just ran over a kid, you know. And a lady comes jumping up on the side of the truck and hands us 3 ears of roasted corn. And that's what all the screaming and yelling was about. But I'm going to tell you what. I love the cookies, but damn, corn is good. Especially when it's roasted. I never had it roasted before in my life, never. And I was like, okay, there you go. Just give me my corn and my cookies, and I'll be good.
Well, depending on how my schedule works out, you might get cookies in 2 weeks.
Where am I at in 2 weeks? No, in 2 weeks I'll be in Montreal. No, actually I'll be in Watkins Glen in 2 weeks, I think.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not about right?
Pocono?
You go, it'd be Watkins Glen.
No, we don't go to Pocono.
August 11th.
Yeah.
We leave here, we go to Iowa to Watkins Glen. Watkins Glen, we go to the foreign country. We leave the foreign country and we come back and hope that, God, this is the last year we have to go up there. I love Canada, I do. God bless Canada. But there's certain parts of Canada I just do not go to, and that certain part would be called Montreal. But that's just me.
Well, that's just you. Never been.
Yes. All right, kids. I've taken up enough of your airtime.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll have to have you back on again.
Hey, absolutely.
Before we go, I need
relax.
Picks for Cup and Nationwide, Wayne.
Picks. Like
driver picks.
Nationwide?
Not picture.
I'm going with the Monster guy on Nationwide.
Say that again?
You want picks or pitchers? You want me to pick
I
who
want
I think's going to win?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would love to
and
say the 50
too,
car.
But,
car. I really would. But realistically, I'm going to go with the Monster guy. I really, 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 really,
sure,
really,
yeah.
really think the guy that drives the Monster car. And it's not going to be the other Bush this week, which, by the way, I thought that would be funnier than hell because he puts Kurt on the door when he drives that car. I just wish he would have just had a little bit of sense of humor and put the other Bush.
Yeah, they're both.
But anyways, yeah, I think Kyle's probably going to be my pick for Nationwide. For Cup, jeez, I don't know. No, I'm not going to say it because I haven't seen anybody practice yet. Nobody's practiced. Nobody's been here yet. But I'm going to go with, you know what, Marcus Ambrose.
Really? Okay. You already wrote this down, Tim.
You know what? He's been there. He's been on the bubble the last few weeks. You know that RPM Motorsports is actually really, really producing this year. They really have been. They've been finishing very, very well between Marcus and Eric Amarola. They've done a very good job this year. I don't know why even I said pulled Marcus because Marcus actually my favorite Cup driver is actually Kevin. So.
All right. Well, we're going to lock you down on that.
Lock you down.
Like 20 seconds left. So. Going to have a great night. Thanks, everybody, for coming on. And we'll be back Monday night for Garage Talk Live and Girls Getting the Facts next Thursday.
Marvelous.
Great. Thanks, Wayne. See
you all right, kids. Thank you all very much. And if you get a chance, tune in to TV. I'll be the one waving at you.
All righty. We got you.
All
thanks,
right.
Wayne.
Thank
bye-bye.
You again.
Bye,
all right. Bye-bye.
Bye.